Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced, from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a few things to talk about today. So let's get into it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse podcast network, available wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle. The other guy is Manny, and we would love it for you to hit the subscribe button if it's something you haven't done already, or follow us on your favorite podcast app, and check out all the other great content that we've got here on the channel. Look for Breaking Geek Radio's review of Mario Brothers movie, Super Mario Brothers movie, on Friday. And lots of anime stuff. Dr. Stone and Tony Kawa reactions kicking off this week. A good bunch of good reasons to be here. Missed yesterday, and then there was a whole bunch of trailers.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's up with this week, but it's been nuts. Good way.
And some of them cool, some of them interesting, some of them I didn't care to watch, like Barbie. I didn't watch that one, but there were some really exciting things going on, and I guess, why don't we start with one of the ones I know you and I were both super excited about, Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle trailer hit yesterday. Looks like a lot of fun. Actually, kind of looks it hit Monday. Was it Monday? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Well, anyway, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. That's the point. It does look a little bit more skewed younger than I thought it would be. And I have a few questions about CGI, but that's everywhere these days. But it looks like a crap ton of fun. And there's some really cool references in this, especially at the end. I'm hoping Jolo got to do a lot of his own fighting and stunts, considering all the hard work he's put in over at Cobra Kai. Comedy looks hilarious. George Lopez, funny guy all the time. Batman is a fascist. I mean, he also keeps young kids, because there's been a female, but usually young boys and our kids in tights in a cave. So take that how you will with Batman. What'd you think of the Blue Beetle trailer, man?
It's great, man. It looked really good. I was really impressed when the Scarab actually takes him over. It has a little bit of kind of like a Venom inspiration to it, mixed with you know, just your kind of traditional, like, iron, like, it's like a weird Iron Man Venom mix where it grabs him. And I love the fact that it happened around his family and everyone's just flipping out. They must think he's possessed or something. That's really what I liked. I liked what he's, I think what I'm most excited about, and you know, people probably get tired of hearing me say this, but he's a Mexican-American superhero making his debut as a lead for DC in a feature film. So that's a big deal. And the thing is, I feel like maybe it's not like it's, will it do the greatest thing in the box office? Nah, it won't. But it's a really good start to like have that. But Zolo actually has, you know, a little bit of a following thanks to Cobra Kai. Mm-hmm. The younger generation really goes crazy for it. I know this because I've gauged interest in my fiance's school. When I mentioned that I speak with Cobra Kai actors, they thought I was the coolest person ever.
I gotta say this here on the screen, man. When he does the Cloud Strife reference from Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah!
Oh my god! Like that sold me on seeing it alone, just to see what other types of references we might get from there. Sorry, go ahead, continue. Trailer's over screen now.
It looks like it's done really, really well. It looks like it's just like your kind of your traditional Latin family. They're going to be involved as they usually are in your family, and the references. You still have a Ted Kord references. You still have the Blue Beetle vehicle. You still have it looks good from what we've seen so far. Now it could all come tumbling down still. But from the trailer, the reaction based on the trailer is that this is going to be pretty good.
And like I said, some of this stuff makes me concerned it'll skew a bit younger. Some of it almost kind of had that same look or feel that the first episode of Ms. Marvel had, which was enjoyable. But you could always see that it was kind of skewed a little bit younger. Not saying that this will be, but that is something that is... on my mind having seen it, but overall, like I said, it doesn't look any more younger than say the first Shazam was.
Well, the benefit of this one versus Ms. Marvel is that it's a movie, so it doesn't have too long to drag out.
Very, very true. Very, very true. And I was going to say, it doesn't look too much, you know, skewed younger than say Shazam, the first Shazam was. Mm-hmm. Maybe a tad bit. And I think part of what kind of brings the, Miss Marvel comparison to mind is the involvement of the family.
The thing is, her family was very involved,
so maybe that's why I'm connecting those two.
Maybe, but the thing is, also in both cultures, family is very, very big. Like I understood in Miss Marvel what they were doing.
Oh yeah,
and to a certain degree, I was all for it.
It was just the execution
in the later episodes. That's really where it kind of broke down.
Poorly executed. That was the problem with. That was the problem with Ms. Marvel, was it was poorly executed. Yeah, I hope Blue Beetle knocks it out of the park.
The other thing also is that, just real quick, I like the fact that they're mixing practical with special effects on the suit.
Yeah.
Because we've seen him kind of on set with it on. Mm-hmm. So I like that, and
indeed
it's not a Green Lantern suit.
I don't like the HUD, the heads up display when he's, you know, seeing via the mask, the color scheme and the very waviness of it. I know that might be an aesthetic from the comics, but on screen it looks very cartoony, you know what I'm saying? And I know it's not meant to look like a human designed it, like Tony Stark's, you know, Iron Man heads-up displays. I get that it's meant to be alien. It just, the actual execution of it looks a little cartoon. And that's where I was like talking about some of the CGIs, kind of like, we'll have to see. But those are all little things that can easily get tossed away as long as there's not too many little things and as long as the story characters and all of that are good. I'm excited for it. I hope it's great.
And it may have taken a while, but this is the right way to get different race into your different ethnicity into a character. Miss Marvel actually, I think, did a fine job at it as far as like not forcing an issue of, you know, okay, we're gonna make this controversial because Ted Kord's now Hispanic or a Latino, sorry. But you know, Blue Beetle, he's only been around since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And they've let him develop, especially in shows like Young Justice, which is probably one of the bigger, he had a way bigger role in. And so that's a really beloved show in DC. So now that those kids are getting older and a lot of them are adults now, of course. Not a lot of them. They all would have to be unless you stop growing. That's a stupid thing to say. Anyway, but now you put him in a live action movie, and you kind of have a good idea of who he is.
Yeah.
If you're a fan, if you're not, you're kind of intrigued just by the fact that you have names like George Lopez in there, and other Latino actors that you're like, oh, okay, so this might be a little bit different. This might be a little bit more skewed for us, and then just as comic book fans in general. You're probably intrigued by it. So it has a good mix to make it successful. I don't know how much they spent on it, but I don't think it's going to be too crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they even have a budget estimate out? Let's see. Blue Beetle budget. Roughly $120 million. So that's not a sneeze at. That's a like an Ant-Man budget back in the day, like an original Ant-Man. That's like a Marvel Phase 2 budget right there. That's not Iron Man. So that's not too bad of a budget. We'll see where it all went and how it all goes.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
I want to talk about a trailer that actually made me feel better about a movie's prospects than I did before.
Oh, that's a question. Oh, I thought you were going to follow that up. Yeah, sure. Yes, Kyle, I would love
Thank
to talk
you.
About it.
Into the or across the Spider-Verse, across the Spider-Verse, right? The first trailer didn't look so. It was weird. It wasn't that it looked bad or anything like that. It was just kind of underwhelming, the first trailer. And then I think there was like a teaser or something as well. The point being is this is a brand new full trailer. Gives us a little bit more of what to expect story-wise and stuff like that. And a lot of looks at different animation styles. And I must say, I am relatively more excited for this movie now. I would even say I am fairly more excited for this movie than I was for based on previous footage. How'd you feel about it, Manny? You're muted, but
actually exactly the same way.
Nice.
The first trailer and kind of what we've seen, that felt kind of muddy. Felt like it was going to be really convoluted with so many cameos, and that's really what it was all going to be. But this latest trailer really showed off kind of the heart of the film, which is kind of the identity of Miles Morales and trying to find himself and trying to balance his teenage life with his parents and his life as Spider-Man. And I like that because it's really relatable. And when you start adding all the layers of what he's going to go through, it just feels like it's going to make for a really good film. Meaning that because of the first film and kind of because now of this trailer, you kind of feel like, okay, I can trust him a little bit more with kind of putting it all together in a good package for that's going to be the film. This second trailer completely sold me on the film. Not that I wasn't necessarily gonna go watch it beforehand, but this time now it's like, oh, my excitement level's actually gone up. One of the few things Sony's getting right, man.
Just be careful. Lightning.
Credit them. Lightning. Credit them.
Yes. I have before. I will again whenever they're not screwing things up. Needing a pregnant Jessica Drew's weird, but whatever. I'm like I said, then you said, and as the trailer is just finishing up on screen, I'm just like, yeah, man, I want to be in a theater seat watching this. I cannot wait. The first film was a lot of fun. There's my boy, Scarlet Spider, my favorite suit, Ben Reilly in the torn up blue hoodie. I love that suit. I'm sold on it. June, let's go. We got Super Mario Brothers this week. For April, May, we've got our Guardians Volume 3, and then in June now, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So, yay!
Yeah, good stuff.
You saw the Barbie trailer. I just didn't. You know, the first trailer was funny for what it was. I really enjoyed the conversations we had to have online dealing with that trailer. But Manny, do you dare speak about the Barbie trailer, the beloved franchise that apparently we're not allowed to speak on? Do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, I do, because because unfortunately Warner Brothers thinks I should speak on it, given the multiple emails I received about it yesterday from their different reps. It fits. It fits the mold. Like, is it for me exactly? Not necessarily. Could I enjoy it? Probably. But it's definitely something that I'll be enjoying with my daughter, who still finds some joy in Barbie. Who knows how long that'll last. But it looks like it got people excited. In the newsroom yesterday, when I shouted out loud that the Barbie trailer was up and people started watching it, it seemed to seems to bring joy and excitement. So I feel like it's going to do pretty good. But very curious how long that aesthetic and that kind of tone of voice and that kind of like really high, I'd almost say intensity of like bubbliness or whatever can really take in a film, or if this is kind of one of the theories I saw was that that's the Barbie world, and then Ken and Barbie, Margot and whatever his name is, I forgot his name, the guy who plays Ken, the main Ken,
I don't remember.
Whatever it is, you know what I'm talking
Gosling?
About. Yes, Gosling. Thank you. Ryan Gosling. They get transported into actually our world. That's kind of a theory I saw, which actually would be really interesting. And get away. Hold on. This cat's been a menace. Menace, I tell you. Anyway. Get the cat. Say hi.
Hi,
anyway.
Kitty.
it looks fine. It looks fine. It looks good. That's really all I mean. You want me to tell you that it's going to be the greatest thing in the world? It's not. Is it going to be one of the top 10 movies of the year? Probably not. And if it is, then great. Like we say here all the time, we're always rooting for every movie.
Always want it to be good.
I think for me that one of the biggest takeaways right now is just look at the variety of films that we're getting this year, and just like trailer after trailer after trailer. I mean, hell, today Super Mario kicks off. It's already playing in theaters. You're gonna have there's the Russell Crowe horror movie coming up. There is Evil Dead's coming out, and then so on and so on. The Flash and Blue Beetle and Spider-Man and Indiana Jones and all this other stuff in between. It's just a good variety of films. Movies and opportunities for people to go out to the theaters, and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
So, and then Yeah, the theater we're watching it in tonight is always stupid packed. So,
I wonder if there's been any additional tickets sold for my theater. Let's see.
I looked at the 4DX rooms in Fresno, and they're all sold out tonight.
Jeez.
Our PX one, we barely made it in.
It looks like the Super Mario Brothers movie on Friday night. It does look like some of the showings have sold out. The nighttime showings are no longer available, which that's a good sign. I'm trying to open up my my showing right now, but there it goes. Riveting podcast audio, right, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, so wow. I guess
nope. Literally, it is still just the three.
You're not showing it to anyone.
Well, I'm sure. There's you. I'm showing my camera for OBS, and I forgot that I don't have autofocus on, so you guys can kind of see these three dots there.
Absolutely, yeah. You man, what is up with your
area? I don't know. But at least you need to go out there and campaign. Nighttime ones are sold out because you can't even select that. You can't even select that time.
Anyway, so yeah, the other thing I just wanted to say is it's funny because I had said on social media yesterday. Mm-hmm. Blue Beetle is the best trailer you're going to see this week. Because to me, Blue Beetle was going to be the best trailer you saw this week. Just because of the implications, because of the solo, the everything. In my opinion, no trailer was going to trump that. Mm-hmm. See what I did there? I stand by that decision. It's and I got it's funny. Somebody online criticized me for supposedly jumping the gun after the release of the Barbie trailer and the Spider-Verse trailer. and I thank them for calling me a critic because that's a compliment. But as a critic, I have the right to voice my opinion.
Well, I mean,
however,
as a human,
however
you
I
have
want.
The right to voice an opinion, but...
I know. And every critic basically is just giving their opinion.
Yeah.
That's really it. And after watching all three trailers... I do stand by my decision. Blue Beetle is the best trailer.
Come on, no. Secret Invasion was the best trailer, Manny. There Jesus was nothing Christ. Better than that Secret Invasion trailer.
The Spider-Verse trailer really got me excited, but I've seen it before.
Yeah.
Barbie, of course, it's not my film. Yeah. And yeah, I'll review it as honestly as possible when I watch it. But as out of all the trailers this week, you know, it's all about Blue Beetle for me. And who knows? I don't think there's gonna be any other surprise trailers today or the next few days. And if there are, whatever.
We'll see.
What do you make of a live action Moana happening 7 years after the movie was released?
I think it's destined to be Disney Plus only.
it's funny. Everyone's like, how come The Rock didn't say he's going to change the landscape of Disney?
Yeah, right. The hierarchy of Disney live action remakes is about to change forever. I don't know. Moana was cute. It was a fine movie.
Moana's a good movie. Yeah.
I'm not a musical person though, so that has to be said. So I'm not hating on it. I'm saying it's this sort of thing ain't my bag, baby. That being said, when there's not ridiculous singing going on, it is a cute movie. It's funny. The rooster's hilarious. Moana's a great character. Maui is funny as all hell. The tattoos are fun. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to enjoy out of that movie. But again, I'm not a musical person, so I don't really care. The live action stuff that I've seen, I don't care. it is such an annoying thing, and it goes into a conversation we're having on Discord. There's a link to our Discord in the box down below, but it goes to the conversation we were having in there about movies being dumbed down or juvenilized, however you want to say it, where the maturity doesn't kind of grow with the audience, you know. I've mentioned how I love the 80s Ninja Turtles. I would watch the 80s Ninja Turtles today, but I actually have other versions of the Turtles that I prefer, some that are a little bit more mature. And I don't mean like adult. I just mean instead of for 10-year-olds, more for like 15-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? Like where it's less about the goofy voices and silly creatures, and more about some of the story and the character development. And then of course I would love to see something adapted from the IDW runs. But the point being is requels, sequels and reboots are a part of that. Like we're getting to where we don't have any new original, and I'll put air quotes around original, nothing new under the sun, right? But we're running out. There's just nothing else out there besides just rehashing what's already happened. Mm-hmm. And that leads into another story I wanted to talk about as well, which is the Harry Potter TV series. Dear God, guys, like everyone involved from the books to the movies, which are so beloved, are still alive and still kicking, and it really hasn't been all that long, and we are already remaking it. Like, why? This has so many pitfalls, man, in front of it. Can you imagine the casting news alone, Manny, as this cast becomes more diverse than it was in the movies? I cannot wait to watch this fandom rip itself apart even more. And I say that not seriously. It's going to be sad. It's going to suck. Because there's gonna be a lot of people that are going to have just a story that they really care about just dragged through the mud in every which way. Because you've got certain parts of the LGBT community really against anything that puts money in J.K. Rowling's pocket. You have fans that are totally dedicated to the movies. The books don't even really matter as much. So doing anything different from that is going to really seem weird. You're going to have a set of people that are going to insist on casting be a certain way, and another group insisting that it be a different way. Like this is probably one of the this is a third rail, and it's only being done because it's safe and people enjoy reboots, requels, sequels and rehashing, and it's so upsetting, like remaking for the third time Modern Warfare or the Last of Us. These projects aren't old. You know what I'm saying? They're not old. So yeah, to Moana, it's not my thing. Best of luck. But to Harry Potter as a TV series, if you're a drama tuber, it's going to feed you for a while. What do you think, Manny?
The Moana thing, I really roll my eyes at, because supposedly Disney's like is so imaginative or whatever. They can't even make new films,
yeah,
that are really captivating. The last one, Strange Worlds, unfortunately didn't do very well at all. And so what are you going to do? Is you're going to remake Peter Pan, you're going to remake
and sequels and for Toy Story and
Toy Story and which you should have just shut the door on so long ago.
Yeah.
Frozen I could understand a little bit better. I think there's still some stories to tell you there, but like why is it so difficult to try and do something in 2D again? Like you did with Princess and the Frog, like that was your bread and butter for so long. Why do you need to have that art, you know, change up your art style a little bit, back to what really made you guys who you are. Why do you always have to just go back into the, let's just remake this story because we're really not as imaginative as you might think, as you might want to think we are. I if there's one, I was like, I'm very critical of that because they don't have necessarily any new ideas. I am excited about Elemental because it does feel like Pixar is going back to kind of that style of film, like an Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're kind of thinking of the what if this blank had feelings or telling a story like that. So that actually feels pretty good from what I've seen so far. But like everything else, like what are you doing? It's kind of annoying and it's kind of patronizing to your audience, I think, because it's almost like you don't take
eating it up. Yeah.
But that's the problem too.
Exactly.
We had Marvel Zombies for a long time, and I think we're at the point now where that bubble burst.
Maybe.
It took 17 Phase 4 projects.
Dude, but most of everything was good. What really just burst was just the poor.
No, I'm talking Phase 4.
I'm not.
The Infinity Saga, I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
Did it have its missteps? Yes. Yeah. But in general, it was great.
Yeah.
And it tied it up with the bow. It told a great story. It led us to the Avengers. Then they had another mission together in Age of Ultron. And then they mixed up every now and then one another. And no, that was fine. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about this multiverse saga. But as far as what you're talking about with Harry Potter, I kind of have mixed feelings about it because, like, there's theme parks around it at mm-hmm. Universal. There's, yeah. it is a very, very beloved franchise, yes. That you should be making money off of. If you need somewhere to go as far as making money, there's a lot of stories to be told there, and I think it will work well on television.
There are. Does it need to be retelling the books one book per season? Like,
I mean, that could work. I'm not saying like I'm 100% sold on it.
Yeah,
you are right. You are right though in the fact that it's very, very beloved and very much in the memory of everyone.
Yeah,
you know who these characters are. All together, so yeah, that could cause some issues. But at the same time, I mean, we just saw what the game did, and there were people buying Xboxes and PlayStations that did not own them beforehand just to play the new Harry Potter game, and so you kind of see the effect of what it is. It has that kind of draw, and unfortunately, I'm not making light of the situation. But the people who supposedly
wanted to
boycott it are
ended up
very
it up.
Much minority. Yeah, minority, because it is what it is, unfortunately. And we don't stand by her comments or anything
I don't. I mean, but, is it really all that wrong to say that a biological female shouldn't necessarily be in the same homeless shelter as a biological male? Is that really that crazy? Is that really anti anything? Or is that just saying, hey, biological females do need to have a place where they feel secure? I don't think that's such a crazy thing to say.
Is that really all that sparked that whole
Dude,
thing?
Do you not know? So you were about to kind of just like throw. So in general, she supports things like having biological women only sports, biological women only spaces. She hasn't really, relatively to anything that I've seen, come out as truly anti-trans in the sense of, you know, trans people shouldn't be treated well or trans people don't deserve that. No. She hasn't even said, as far as I can tell, that trans women shouldn't have a place for them that they are secured in. What she's saying is that women have fought for a long time in Western civilization to get secured places, to reach certain places, and that if they're uncomfortable with biological males, trans women being around them in certain sensitive areas, be that a bathroom, a sports team, a homeless shelter or abuse shelter, that should matter. That's really not all that freaking crazy. Sorry, it's not, but you know.
Okay, you're not wrong.
And yeah. Like I said, there's some nuances, and I'm sure, especially in the sports discussions, that maybe people can find something that they might be able to say is more close to an offense than saying simply that biological women should have a space. I don't find that all that insane.
No, that really isn't.
And that doesn't mean that trans women shouldn't have a space or shouldn't be treated well, equally within the law, all of that. That is not anywhere in the conversation. It is simply that biological women should have a space where they feel safe and secure, and that's okay. You're not taking away anything from anyone else. So yeah. But that in general, Manny, is the gist of it. I see her tweets on Twitter. I don't think I follow her. I follow a bunch of entertainment people for, well, look what I do, but I see her tweets, people retweeting or whatnot. And really all I ever see is just the, hey, you know, biological women, she'll just say women. I'm trying to be somewhat politically correct out there. But women should have a space, and that includes homeless shelters, abuse shelters, sports, bathrooms. Like if you've got it is what it is. So.
Yeah, I feel that. Anywho, back to the original point. I think a Harry Potter TV show would be fine. You just got to be very careful who you cast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, that's going to be the interesting one to me, man, because you know they're going to diversify the cast. And I'm not saying boo. I'm not saying yay. I'm saying, all honesty, that is up to Miss Rowling, in my opinion. She's the creator, and whoever she imagined in her mind, that's what you should do. That being said, I don't really have a horse in this race. here we are talking about casting, and everyone knows that means potential for race swapping. And then I mentioned a horse race. Anyways.
Oh, that's really bad.
I know, right? But here's the thing, Manny. There happens to be an entire family of redheads in this.
Oh yeah. In this. You gotta keep it. You gotta keep them.
And we know what Hollywood likes to do with redheads and race switching. So are the whole Weasley family now going to be black, African American, or African, you know, descent? Like, who?
Yeah, I agree. It's
if that happens, my God, if that happens. Someone with an audience, bring it up, because it is a seriously weird trend. I don't know why it's a trend. You whatever.
Yeah, it's yeah. So the thing about, like, it seems like Disney, they like to they do that often lately, and not for the better. The Little Mermaid, I have no problem with, because that is literally almost that's a Caribbean story. It fits. Like, it's fine. Tinkerbell, on the other hand, Tinkerbell has been the exact same throughout her entire lifespan at Disney, including opening credits, Disneyland, whatever. That one you should have left alone.
Does it ever feel like they pick a character and and this is just my curiosity. I'm not accusing, just a curiosity to you as a member of a minority group. Does it ever feel like sometimes they're picking ones that can cause controversy? Like they're looking,
it feels
like just to gin like up, you know, no press is bad press type mentality. Do you think that's a, not all the time, but do you think there's some cases of that?
I've seen some people on TikTok, African American people, say that that it upsets them because it feels like Disney uses it as a way to mask their product. For example, Obi-Wan Kenobi sucks. I am a racist because it's because of Rhea that I do not like it. Mm-hmm. Because that's how they connect. That's how they hope. That's how they hope social media connects.
So using them more as a human shield instead of a hey, look at us, we did the right thing.
Yeah,
that type. Maybe.
I mean when they did the same kind of similar thing with She-Hulk, except you're a woman hater.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because She-Hulk was just filled with nothing but men hating. So
She-Hulk was horrible. Anyway,
no problem hating.
But you see what I'm saying is that they change some of these things, or they do these things.
Yeah.
And then they're like, or I mean, it's not even Disney. Bros did it, and we're like, everyone's like, this movie sucks, and it's like, oh, that's because you're homophobic. It's like, no, the movie just sucks. Nah, you're homophobic. It's like, you do these things, and then you get enough steam on social media, all of a sudden it's not because the content is bad, it's because you're hyper focusing on a character, yeah, a race, a lifestyle, whatever, a preference, I don't know, which, name your thing. And so like, so if people don't like Blue Beetles because they hate Latinos, that's the way I'm gonna, you got it man. Yeah, and if people hate Super Mario's because they hate plumbers.
So here's the question though, Manny. If your co-host here comes out of Blue Beetle and I go, you know what? It was just a little too immature. It was just a little too kiddish. Is that only because I'm racist?
Because you hate me. Yeah.
Well, at least I know where I stand.
Logic. That's the logic of today. That's what we're gonna use.
Oh, can we ever have
not anymore.
Non-hot take day.
No. Well, the thing is, it's like there's so many unreasonable people out there.
There are.
You could be on the right or left, and there's nobody left in the middle. And the people in the middle are left looking like they're we're the crazy ones.
Well, because there's only like three of us.
There's like seven. All right, there's probably like seven of us. But you know what I mean? Man. Like, so. You remember when we were like, and remember when, and I use this as an example because I was on board with She-Hulk.
Yes.
And I was like, and I had to like, very excited for it. I had been excited for it for a long time, especially with the idea of having Daredevil, Murdoch, Matthew Murdoch, and Jennifer in the courtroom and stuff like that. And supposedly we're going to have courtroom stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then it just unraveled. I feel like we fairly, as it went through, started like it's getting kind of, and then we gave it chances. And then in the end,
the whole thing. You guys can see the reviews on the channel, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem here on the Converse.
I mean, I feel like we're pretty fair with everything. We want everything to succeed, and it is what it is, Kyle. We're screwed anyway. We're gonna get canceled on this.
We will. True question. One of the big three in Harry Potter is gonna get race switched. Who do you think it is?
100% Hermione.
100% is the same thing I said. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for us today. Check out the rest of the content here on the Genreverse on YouTube. If it's not a reaction video, our trailer reactions and our anime reactions on ABR Squared. If it's not one of those, it'll go up on your favorite podcast app. Just look up the Genreverse Podcast Network. Animeverse Reviews, Daily Cog, Breaking Geek. week, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem in the Cantina. If you're into celebrity interviews, written reviews, news aggregation, opinion pieces, leaks, rumors, things like that, check out lrmonline.com. And yeah, all of our write-ups are there. Podcasts are available there too. Click the links. Pretty cool, guys. Anything else, man?
Enjoy your day. Your Wednesday hump day. Yeah, yeah. Woo, woo.
Mike. Bye, guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.